magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 17th, 2020. Reading from 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I share that, Jason, Pastor Jason, joining me on this Friday edition of Mark and Friends, as it's kind of those patterns of three. A day or two ago, I heard somebody reference this, and then I created a radio announcement on Wednesday using this and some other things about Thomas, doubting Thomas. And then yesterday, during our small group Zoom gathering that I have with some guys, Russ Taylor was sharing about worry and had a number of passages, including 1 Peter 5:7. And I thought, oh, the pattern of three. God is wanting to emphasize that into my mind and heart. And I don't know if that's happened with you where, you know, you're reading about a topic or subject and then somebody else is talking about it and then you hear it on the radio or referenced by somebody else and it's like, okay, maybe God's at work here. But what a great verse for all of us. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And so that important part, because he cares for you, we're talking about God, sovereign creator of the universe, the one who designed us, who brought us into existence, that he cares for us. If that's true, wow, we can give him our fears, our trepidations, the things that are concerning us. You know, we don't have to be anxious because he's sovereign. He's in control. Nothing is outside of his permissive will. He can control and fix anything or allow things to happen and bring healing or hope or change. Or sometimes maybe on this side of eternity, we won't maybe understand it, but because of his character, he's good, he's loving, he's compassionate, he's faithful, he's true. Because of who God is, we can ultimately trust that he'll take care of it. And it will be resolved, even though there might be some heartache or pain or suffering on our part. He's a good God that can be trusted. So 1 Peter 5:7, everyone, let's think about it. Let's memorize it. Let's have a ream about it. Let's talk about it, because we can cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for us. What a great verse.
Yeah, well, and you know, as always, Mark, I am going to challenge that we need to look at context. Because I think the context is actually even more important, or it lends importance to the verse. Because if we look at chapter 5, you know, chapter 5 talks about the shepherd of God's flock. Now, everybody, I would say this, you know, people would say, well, there's leaders and there's not leaders. And I always argue that when I say, okay, there are people who are maybe better or more skilled at leading than others. But there are not people who are leaders and people who are not leaders, because everybody is leading someone. And you're either leading them towards good things or you're leading them towards bad things. And so all of us are shepherding something. You know, it's just varying sizes and varying degrees. But all of us are shepherds of something. You know, I shepherd a church, which is a couple hundred people. My wife shepherds a family, which is five people. You know, but all of us have varying degrees of responsibility in shepherding. And some of us are more gifted at kind of managing different sizes of groups that we're shepherding and different systems. But we're all shepherds. And so chapter 5 says, you know, shepherd of God's flock. And he says, so I exhort the elders amongst you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is amongst you, exercising oversight. So he's saying, shepherd the flock that you've been given. Shepherd the place that you have been given to watch over, to manage, to look at, to steward, exercising oversight, which means that you're watching. You're invested and involved. You see what's going on. You're not kind of ambivalent to what is. You're not kind of just trusting and saying, well, this thing is just going to work. You know, especially, I would say, like my wife, she shepherds four kids. You can't just, like, that thing doesn't run with no oversight. You've got to have some oversight, or else it goes south really quick. It says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. So you don't shepherd the thing that God has given you because you have to. You shepherd it because you want to. You enjoy doing it. You enjoy, you see this thing that you've been given to shepherd, whatever size, scope, or scale that it is, as a gift from God. That God has created this thing, that he's given you this work to oversee and to look at, to keep track of, and you do it for God's glory. Because it says, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Now, when it says, as God would have you, I think that I interpret that as meaning that I have to keep going back to God and asking him how he wants me to shepherd this thing.
Hmm.
This is my prayer life with God concerning the things that I'm shepherding, my conversations with the Holy Spirit on how he would lead and guide my heart and my actions and my decisions with this thing that I'm shepherding. Because how would I know how God would have me to shepherd this thing if I'm not talking to him about this?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not seeking him in his word, if I'm not seeing how he would shepherd this thing if it was his. Because I'm an under-shepherd of the great high shepherd, of the good shepherd. And so I want to do my best to line up what I'm doing along with what Jesus would do. You know, I said to somebody the other day, I said, that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? When we have to do the very difficult and often hard but beautiful things that Jesus calls us to do. Mm-hmm. Loving our neighbor is difficult and hard if you really do it. Mm-hmm. Being obedient to Scripture is really difficult and hard if you do it. Even in the current kind of climate that we're in right now, I mean, you know, I see a lot of people kind of saying, you know, well, does the government have my best interest? Is the government doing what they're supposed to be doing? Well, you know, let's go back to Romans 13, where we submit to the government because God has placed them in authority. You know, God didn't fall asleep and the current administration came into power. God knows exactly what's going on, whether it's state, local, or federal. In fact, 1 Peter says that we're to honor the emperor. And it doesn't say, there is a little parenthesis that says whether he's Democrat or Republican. It says just to honor the emperor. And I always love, because when we read Peter, we need context in the fact that Peter's writing about Nero. Peter's writing about one of the most heinous and wicked emperors that there was, especially in terms of how he treated Christians. And so we need to submit. We need to say, God, how would you have me do this? Because you're sovereign. You laid all this thing out. I'm working in the midst of it, and I want to be like Jesus as I'm doing it. I want to be like Christ, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, which means it's not what can I get, but what can I give God glory for? And that's so important, because a lot of times we can get caught up in, what do I get for doing this? Not what does God get? And God gets all the glory. Continually give God back the glory.
You know, I wrote down a few different words because it's really kind of coming alive for me again, that we're doing it willingly, not because we must, and we're doing it, we're submitting it to God. But I also wrote down the word authoritarian. We're not doing it because we're in charge and everyone's going to do it my way. You know, we're doing it as unto the Lord, as a shepherd, as somebody that he's guiding for us to lead others. And, yeah, it changes the perspective that, yeah, we're not in charge so we can be authoritarian. We're in charge to be the shepherds, to lead and help and assist and love on these people.
Exactly. And that's why the passage goes on to say, but being examples of the flock. So the life that we lead as we're shepherding is an example to others. It's an example to other shepherds. It's an example to the flock. It's an example to those that we're leading and guiding. And we're showing them what it means to lead. How do you raise up great leaders? By sending them to a leadership conference? Or having them watch great leadership in action? You know, all the people who we count as great leaders would say, I'm a great leader because I came up under the leadership of this person, and I watched them intimately and saw how they uniquely led and guided through difficult situations. And it affected how I do it. And so, you know, our guidance, our example is always Christ. You know, we go back to Philippians 2. What does Philippians 2 say? That the example is Christ, that we count others above ourselves, because that's what Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
It made me just kind of heartbroken, if I could share my heart for a minute, looking on social media over the last number of days, and watching people lament about their rights and their comfort on a weekend when our Savior gave up his rights and his comfort for each one of us. He laid down every right that he had, every bit of comfort that he had, to take upon himself the suffering for others. And why can't we? Because what an example when we do that, what an example we are of what it is to be like Christ, to bear a burden. You know, and the burden that we're asked to bear is not even that bad, right? We're asked to stay in our house and watch Netflix. I mean, it's really not as bad as you think. Now, I don't want to, you know, kind of be cliche there. I don't even want to be careless in how I say that, because there are people who are out of work right now, who are wondering how they're going to make the next paycheck, who are wondering how they're going to pay their rent and pay their bills. They're going to wondering how they're going to get food, and they're scared, and they don't know what's going to happen and what's going on. But you know what? That's a great time for us to then live out an example of Christ, how he called us to live for one another in community, that if all of us together would pool our resources, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than enough food in my cupboard to feed two families. There's more than enough money that if we spread the wealth around, and maybe we're going to learn that we all have a lot more than we thought we had,
mm-hmm.
and that we can be vessels of blessing far more than we ever even contemplated. And in doing that, we will be examples to the flock, and we will look a lot like Christ. And verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. So this way that we shepherd, lead, guide, this example that we are, this way that we are not authoritarian, as you said, but instead we exalt the authority of God and give him the glory,
mm-hmm.
Peter ties this to how we stand before Jesus at the end. That this kind of life where Jesus comes and he says, oh, good and faithful servant, placing the crown of glory upon our head. And then he says something that I think is really fascinating to me, because, you know, you said, you know, how this verse has really been affecting you and just in different ways that you've seen it, you know, mm-hmm. the casting your gaze on him because he cares for you. But before that, it says in verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another.
Mm.
You know, this idea that we need to clothe ourselves. So it's not just that we are humble or we appear humble, but we're clothed in it. And this refers to like a slave who would put on an apron before serving, sort of like how Jesus wrapped the towel around his waist before he washed the disciples' feet. Being clothed with humility is this visible outward sign to others that you are humble, that you count others above yourself. And listen, we can't put any of that on without putting on the Spirit, without walking in the Spirit, without being clothed in Christ first.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest measure of humility for us is not how we react to situations around us or even how we react to people around us. The greatest mark of humility for the Christian is how we submit to God. You know, the Bible tells us, submit then to God and the enemy will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The greatest battle plan for spiritual warfare is submission, to submit to God, to exalt him and cry out from the depths of your soul that he's the only one who can fight these battles. He's the only one who can get you through. He's the only one who can do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the strength of the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, and some people would say, well, my gosh, what, did Paul have some kind of love affair with death that he was, you know, well, if I die, that's just fine. No, it wasn't that. It was that Paul submitted to God, whether in life or in death. And I think in doing that, it made Paul absolutely frustrating to all those who would oppose him. Because they'd say, you know, Paul, we're going to lock you up in prison. And Paul would be like, yeah, that's great. I'll convert all the guards. Well, we're just going to let you go. Great, because I got to get to the next town and convert the people in the next town. Well, we'll kill you. Okay, well, die is gain. I mean, there was nothing you could do to Paul.
Yeah, we would say, like, in contemporary terms, he was totally sold out for Jesus.
Totally. And I wonder if what would that look like now in this time for folks if you were totally submitted to God? Listen, we're not in this crisis, in this place, apart from God. God didn't fall asleep at the wheel. God doesn't chase ambulances. I mean, God didn't go out of the room and come back in and go, oh, my gosh, Spirit, what happened? Coronavirus? Where's that from?
Yeah.
I mean, God knows exactly what's going on. And so are we going to be the kind of people, you know, who are like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, or are we going to be like the Apostle Paul who says, I know whom I have believed upon, and I believe that he can deliver me? Because those are two different worlds you live in. And what I'm concerned about, Mark, and I'll just say this, is I'm concerned that I can look across social media and find Christians who are saying the sky is falling, instead of saying, I know whom I have believed upon. And friends, I understand it's difficult, it's scary. It's, for some of us, it's kind of new territory. It's something we've never dealt with before. And as Americans, we love our rights, land of the free and home of the brave. Well, you know, in this moment, we feel a little less free. And so we're wondering kind of what do we do and how do we react to that? Well, I have maybe an unpopular thing to say, and that is that the flag never trumps the cross.
Yeah.
That I never submit more wholly to the flag than I do to the cross. And my humility, my being clothed in humility, comes from my submission that God, whether it rains or the sun is outside, this day belongs to you. You've authored it, and in it, I want to shepherd what you've given me to the greatest of my abilities, to the best of my knowledge that I get from you, my ability that I get from you, your spirit fueling the endeavors of my day. And I want to just do that as an example to others. And listen, if you live that kind of life, if you really truly do that, if you go, okay, I'm gonna, you know what, that's it. I'm going to set my mind for the next, you know, however long this thing lasts, to being clothed in humility and submitting to God, to his plan, his purposes, that's where I'm going to place all of my trust. I guarantee you, you will have anxiety. You will have anxiety. And that's the reason why Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Because when you humble yourself in that way and you declare that God has got this, there's going to be anxiety because you are going to have to take your hand off the wheel as though you think you can drive this thing, and you're going to have to trust that he's going to do it. And in the middle of that, you're going to spend quite a bit of time going, God, help me right now because I'm feeling a little bit fearful. God, help me right now because I'm getting a little irritated. God, help me right now because I'm having trouble. And God even gives through Peter here. Isn't it beautiful, Mark? He gives you the permission to cast that anxiety on him. And one of the things that we as Christians, I think, need to repent of is the fact that if we feel like we have any fear, we have any anxiety, or we're somehow not in control, that we're not faithful. When anxiety, fear, and those are natural human emotions, and the Bible tells us multiple times to hand those over to God, to cast them upon him because he cares for us. He wants to shepherd us through them. You know what this passage is really saying is be good shepherds and submit to God because he's the best shepherd. And cast all that upon him. You know why? Because he'll shepherd you. And because he shepherds you, you're going to be able to shepherd others through this. But it's only going to come if we're clothed in humility, if we're submitted to God, if we're striving daily to be examples to his flock, overseeing, being watchful, but being an example, not lording over this thing. You said it so great, Mark, not being authoritarian, but instead operating in the authority that God has given us and giving him all glory in the midst of it. And when people say, well, why are you doing what you're doing? You say, well, because that's what God would have me do. And when you do the things that God tells you to do in times like this, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to question why you're doing it that way.
You know, and I think we're so prone to be self-sufficient and taught to be that way, especially as Americans. It's kind of interesting because I'm hearing you also say when we realize we're not self-sufficient, we have to lean in God. That's a really great thing. I mean, you always used to share this with me when I get frustrated over a sin or some bad habit or something that I had. You said, Mark, what does that cause you to do? It causes you to lean back into Jesus, recognizing that you can't be sinless, that you're fallen. And so when you sin or fall short, you recognize you have to lean into Jesus. Isn't that a good thing, Mark? And I'm like, yeah, it really is. Well, it's the same way. We want to be so self-sufficient. And then when we can't, that's not sinful. We come to the higher recognition that we need God. We need Jesus. It's only going to work as he and the Holy Spirit empower us anyway. So stop being so self-sufficient, everyone, like me too, and realize that we're in desperate need of God's help at every moment. Even the breath that we breathe right now is a gift from him.
Right. And let's just think about this in the context of what the Bible says in terms of us being his ambassadors. If you were an ambassador of a kingdom, and as an ambassador in a foreign land, you just continually tried to usurp the king with your own will, you wouldn't be a very good ambassador. Mm-hmm. In fact, those countries, those foreign lands that you were in, they would probably keep saying, do you really serve that king? Should we serve that king? I mean, it seems to me like you question his authority daily. Instead, we submit to that authority because we believe that this king, the king of all things, the king who rose from the dead victoriously, we believe that this king can deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we can say crazy things like, oh, death, where is your sting? We can say crazy things like, I know whom I have believed upon, and I believe that even in the midst of coronavirus, he will deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, worry doesn't have the same power. All of a sudden, anxiety doesn't have the same power. All of a sudden, frustration doesn't have the same power. It doesn't mean anxiety isn't anxiety, and fear isn't fear, and frustration isn't frustration. But we have a king who says, when you get that, cast it upon me, because I'll carry it for you, and I'll care for you in the process.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. What a reassuring verse for all of us, that God cares for us, that God loves us, that he has our best interest in mind, and it's beyond just what we're going to live out here in the world. It's for all eternity. What a great verse. Hey, Pastor Jason, if our listeners could see what was going on behind the scenes, in fact, you didn't even know we were going to talk about 1 Peter 5:7, but Holly, in the midst of it, brought in my Egg McMuffin sandwich. She's been delivering them every morning for this week as I've been doing the programming from the home studio, and had some bacon going on here. So it was a great time. And this is starting to become official, but I'm thinking in 6 weeks, by June 1st, Mark and Friends will be heard on all 19 of the frequencies, so I'll get to share you with people in Springfield and Decatur and Bloomington and Whitehall and Beardstown and Macomb. We're working really hard behind the scenes to pull that all together to get the technology up and running, and so it was a fun week. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we played some of the historic first-ever broadcast and some of the vision where God has taken us, even these last 4 years. And now as we've entered our 25th year, we're looking forward to getting all the family of stations together and working the good news message of Jesus so that thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of more people can tune in, because we'll have over 3 million in our listenership with all the 19 frequencies. So we're not being anxious about it, because we know God's in control, but we appreciate everyone's prayers and how this is all going to come together in the coming weeks. So thank you, Jason, for joining me on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and just excited to see what God's going to do and how he'll work this verse in everyone's life today. Mm-hmm. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio, which falls under the Good News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day and night.